Now extended through January 14th, join a clean and spacious Planet Fitness for zero enrollment and only $10 a month. With tons of equipment and free fitness training, it's the perfect place for everybody to work out.
Even me, mister, I'm so stressed I grind my teeth more than most people grind coffee.
Especially you. Give your anxiety clenched jaw a rest.
My molars will be so happy.
Start feeling fit-tacular today. Join InClub or at planetfitness.com. Zero enrollment, $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 14th. See Club for details.
Welcome to the Delvin Cox Experience, the podcast in which each week I am on a one-man mission to unite our culture through diversity. I'm your host, Delvin Cox, and with me on the podcast is my boy, Los, the architect of the Delvin Cox Experience Halloween. How you doing, brother?
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing really good, so... Before we get into everything about the Halloween special, because we definitely got a lot to talk about there.
Ooh, as I'm always, excited. I'm excited, excited.
We like to start the podcast off with the five for five. Five questions, five answers to get the ball rolling. Los, are you ready?
No, I am not.
This one's easy. This is going to be easy for you. Question number one. I know this is a little bit further behind us, but what's your favorite Halloween candy?
Ah, man, candy corn.
Really?
No, I fucking hate candy corn. It's horrible. Oh my
God.
All right.
I'm gonna end this shit immediately.
No, I'm a big Snickers guy. I mean, if I had to pick one, it'll probably be that. But I've been having like issues with my teeth lately. So I'm like trying to like stay away from like surprise crunchy stuff.
So your teeth are falling out.
Yeah, no, they're not falling out, but I had two root canals done over like, you know, the past few years.
Yeah, your teeth
like
are falling
out.
It's over, son.
And the crowns keep getting messed up. So it's like I try to avoid sticky and crunchy stuff. So.
You're like the kid from Craig of the Creek. You ever watch Craig of the Creek?
No.
There's this little fat kid who loves candy. And I think I can't remember his name. And he's always dropping it and saying, "My candy." But every time you see him, he's eating candy. And every time I think of that kid, I'm like, that kid's gonna grow up with no teeth whatsoever.
Yeah, it is due to many younger years of not taking care of teeth and not going to the dentist and all that stuff. So
okay. Question number two. And this one you better answer correctly. Because I will get mad.
No promises. Cannot make any promises.
Transformers or GoBots?
Transformers.
Good answer. You saved yourself.
Yeah. I would if Power Rangers were there, I would pick Power Rangers over Transformers.
No, that's not a good answer.
I know they're not comparable, you know, but
and I love Power Rangers, but no.
Yeah. Yeah.
I met the Red Ranger. He actually follows me on Twitter, but yeah.
No. Oh yeah, really? That's cool. Yeah. That's awesome. I was never a Transformer kid. Like I watched it here and there. The same thing with X-Men. Like I was never an X-Men kid. Like I had all these friends that were always into X-Men and Transformers and all this stuff. And it's like I just never followed. I was always Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters. Like those were my two go-tos.
You know you can watch more than one cartoon show, right?
Yeah, I know, but like,
have to watch those two specific cartoon shows. There were other cartoon shows, and those shows didn't even come on at the same time as X-Men or Transformers.
No, they didn't. No, I don't know. I don't know what it was. I just, it's like something that never, like, you know, I never got into it. Like, there was a lot of stuff as I was growing up, I never got into, like, you know, like typical things. Like, I was never into comics as a kid. You know, I was never into, to, like I said, X-Men, Transformers, and, like, you know, other typical stuff from back then. Like, you know, there was a lot that I was into, but, you know, not a lot of the normal stuff.
Okay. Question number 3. What's the best TV show you watched so far this year?
TV show?
Yeah.
Man, not big on TV. We used to be big on TV. We used to watch a lot, but we've been, like, really off it lately. The last show we were getting into was probably This Is Us. But that's, like, we're behind on that. So it's, like, it's hard to say even that, you know?
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, Gilmore Girls.
Oh my God. I'm not even gonna respond with that with an answer.
I mean, this is, I love Gilmore Girls. I that's my don't look at me like that, Delvin. Don't.
Gilmore Girls.
No, for real. It's great writing. You know, it's funny. It's like, it's stuff that, like, really, I don't know, it's entertaining. And the wife watched it a lot. You know, she watched the whole thing, and I missed out on it the whole time. So we've been rewatching it, and, you know, there's like 30 episodes every season, and that kind of kills it for me. I hate that. But yeah, I love Gilmore Girls. I'll go with that. Let's do that.
Okay. Question number 4. Me, you, Beardy, Chowfee, Mike Fowler are in Squid Game. So we're doing the Squid Games. Who wins and who dies first through last, I guess?
Oh, man. All right. Just judging off of what I know of Squid Games, basic schoolyard type games, I think, what I saw.
Yes.
All right. So I would say the first one to go would probably be Mike Fowler.
Okay.
Because fuck Mike Fowler.
Yes. Is that and he's fat and slow, so that makes sense.
All right. All right. So that's the first one to go. Second would probably be me.
Okay, that makes sense.
Depending on the game, I mean, I'm kind of a survivor, so I would probably be okay in some games, but other games maybe not. Then we would have maybe Beardy.
Okay.
Maybe Beardy would be next. I can't tell between Beardy and you, but let's say you'll both go out at the same time. I feel like that's something that would happen. And then Chowfee will win by default, not because he's the best, but because, you know, there's nobody else. And I would probably say just because of his height and because he'll probably be quicker than us. You know? And he's got the skateboard legs, no?
No.
Doesn't that count for something?
That's not the same.
No?
That
okay. All right.
All right. Question number 5. This is going to be a fun one.
Oh, man.
How good do you know your classic hip hop?
I think I'm okay. I grew up with it. So there's a good chance I would know. But then there's also a chance I probably won't know. So let's go. Let's see what you got.
I want you to complete this rap lyric. All right?
All right.
And you got to, for bonus points, you got to tell me who raps this, okay?
I will try my best.
I'll take it off the rack. If it's whack, put it back. I like the Whopper. What's the next line?
Can't tell you. Don't know.
I'm going to try it again. See if you can remember it. This is a well-known rap lyric.
What when are we talking about here? Is this 90s?
Yes, this is 90s, probably early 90s.
Because it sounds familiar. So,
okay, I'm going to try it again. Take it off the rack. If it's whack, put it back. I like the Whopper. Blank, blank, blank.
I'll take something about a Big Mac. I don't know.
You're close. You're very close.
Yeah, I know.
You should know this.
It's like, it's there. It's there. Like, I feel it. It's like right there on the tip of my tongue. Man. Because now it's bothering me. I don't know.
I'm going to recite line. And you probably should remember this line. If you listen to any, if you've been to any party in the 90s or even the 80s for that matter, I think this might be an 80s song, a late 80s, early 90s song. Mm. The lyric goes, I'll take it off the rack. If it's whack, put it back. I like the Whopper. Fuck the Big Mac. If you want static, so let's go. So throw your hands up. Go for what you know. Bro, I got an ego. Yo, you talking to me? No. Oh, you recognize the song now?
That's it. It Takes Two.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Yeah, I know. Okay. You see, it's in there somewhere. It's like deep in there. Like it's hard, man. It's been a while. I got my 90s hip hop, my go-tos and stuff that I listen to a lot, but it's Rob Bass and all that. That's not on my go-to list. So I think
that has to be his most popular song.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably why I know it from him. I mean, I'm more like, you know, the Biggie and Tupac and, you know, LL and, you know, all the basic 90s hip hop heads that you know, that's what I listened to a lot when I was growing up.
Yeah, but this song is more like the song that every like kids party would play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you hear it in the background and you're like, okay, mm-hmm. I know that song. We dance to it, everybody sings that part. I like mm-hmm. the Whopper after Big Mac. That was just kind of classic. I used to love that song.
Man. Well, thank you for showing that I don't know as much 90s hip hop as I feel like I should know. So,
no problem. That's what I'm here for.
So I'm a poser now. You see what you did to me?
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. Just to out you to everyone.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I can't say it anymore. I can't say that I'm a 90s hip hop guy.
No, you can't. So let's get right to it, Los. You did something. You did a good thing.
Yep.
You've been doing a good thing for, I want to say, the last 3 years now. Has it been 3 or 4 years now at this point?
It's been three. It's been 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the fourth year, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, this is the fourth
year. Yeah, I think this is the fourth.
It's crazy to think that it's been going on for 4 years strong. Like,
I know.
For those who don't know, every year, apparently a lot of people didn't know, which is ridiculous. How you don't know this? If you listen to the podcast,
let me tell you, Delvin, there's a lot of people that don't know. Okay. There is a lot of people that don't know. I don't know if I just pick like the random, like 7 or 8 people that don't know, but
I think so.
But there's a lot.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, every year, and I think this is partially because of Los, I do a Halloween special of the Delvin Cox Experience where I interview people. Just like a regular episode about scary stories and things like that. But in between these scary stories, there's a story told between it. Almost like like a serialized television. It's all kind of high production. It has like a lot of background noises and sound effects and everything to it. So it feels like it's like a radio play, a radio drama. And this has been going on for 4 years straight, only on Halloween. I release these episodes every year on Halloween, and Los has kind of been the architect behind it. And each year it gets more and more ridiculous and ridiculous. And I think this year, maybe the most ridiculous, maybe the most far out there idea.
Oh, man.
And so far, a lot of people who've listened to it love it. And you're getting a lot of praise for this episode.
That is crazy.
So first, before we get to some of this praise, how did this even start? How did we even come up with this concept of this Halloween special and stuff like that?
All right, you can still hear me, right?
Yes, I can.
Okay. All right. I had to mute because of the dog. I didn't know if it was muted still or not. All right. So this goes back. This goes back to when the Future Monkeys, Beardy and myself, we were broken up. We didn't do the show no more. And then you had us on your show, and you got us back together, so we could come back and just, you know, fall apart again. But that's a different story. We were talking to you about doing a Halloween show. Because we liked doing shows for Halloween, and, you know, like, you know, theming it around Halloween, like, you know, talking about Halloween themes and stuff. So we were talking you into doing a Halloween show, and then you thought that was a good idea. And then you had like this, I guess you had it like, you know, your own plan to do your own interviews based around scary, you know, stories and things like that from your guests and all that. And then something happened. Like, I don't know if you asked us to host it for you, I guess, in a way to do what we did, but, yes. But we went all out. We were just like, whatever, let's see where this goes. Let's see what we could do. And like, the first year it was me and Beardy. we were kidnapping you. And that was the first foray into this radio drama thing that we had. So the whole story for the first year was that we kidnapped you and we had you hostage, tied up, and like the different sounds that we had was Beardy muffled himself. And was like, you know, as if he was tied up. So like we had that playing in the background while we were just like talking, and we were trying to extract your podcast genius so yes, that we could,
the essence.
So the essence. There you go. So we were trying to do that. And that went on. And I think at the end, we wound up like you escaped and called the cops on us and everything. And then that led to the next year. So like that's how it's been continuing ever since. That was the first story in this epic shit show that we find ourselves in now.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating because it started on this kind of small thing, like you said, with you guys kidnapping me, which mm-hmm. was interesting, cool. It was kind of low budget almost, but it was quite cool.
Yeah, yeah.
To now, where it's kind of this whole production. That is just groups of actors that don't know what the hell they're doing coming together to make something happen, and the end result's kind of being something just hilariously fun and entertaining.
Yeah, man, it was a blast this year. This compared to that first year where it was just me and Beardy having fun and being stupid, and I'll tell you right now, every year is basically Beardy's brainchild. It is Beardy, like most of the way he's like carrying me through, and he'll come up with the idea to do whatever. And it usually comes like months and months before October. Like he'll text me just randomly and he'll be like, look, for Delvin's show this year, we do this, we should do this. And it's like, we'll talk about it for like an hour or two and just texting back and forth. And then we'll come around, you know, October and try and implement it or whatever and see how it goes. And like this year it was his idea to come up with you gathering an army and brainwashing people into being in your army. By the whole good answer thing that you have going on that you always say. So that was all Beardy's plan to do that. And you know, I took it from there and I, you know, evolved it into the TVA Loki thing, because that was a big thing that happened this year. So, and it fit right in too compared to, you know, what we did last year. So I thought it made sense. So you know, it was just fun going here and there and seeing where it goes and all that stuff. And it's crazy how it came out. It was good.
One of the things I like about this is, especially the last 2 years, There were things, for those who don't know, there were things that happened with this year's on and last year's on that could have stopped the whole train from going, moving.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like,
last year, for example, Beardy couldn't be on the podcast.
Uh-huh.
So miraculously, Los yep. found a way to make it work without Beardy being on it. And it sounds great.
Oh, man, that was good. That was funny. Yeah.
So also in last year's on, Elaine and Chalfie came aboard with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's who it was. It was me, Elaine, and Chalfie. And we were the only ones, I think.
Yeah. I wasn't even on the episode.
No, you weren't.
It was
there,
a soundbite yeah. of me.
Yes. You added yourself in there. And I remember listening to it and I was like, oh man, how are we gonna fit this in now? Well, this should be interesting. It was a nice little curveball at the end. But yeah, it was just me, Lane, and Chalfie, and a whole bunch of raccoons. And it was just basically, you know, going by. I mean, you were there. You were there for this show. This was the first time that you were there and you saw how the sausage was made. Like you were witness to it, to see how the process went and how
for this year.
Yeah. So you saw how it was, and it's basically how it goes all the time. Like I'll come up with a basic rundown of how it should go, like, you know, where these points are that we should hit and where we should end. And whoever's on, I like to you know, let them just go and let them do what they do. Like last year with Elaine and Chalfie was hilarious stuff. And like this year we had even more people there and it was even more interactions and more, you know, different aspects of, you know, where they want to go with stuff and everything. And it was a lot to bounce around and a lot to edit around. But, you know, in the end, it was, I'd rather have more stuff to play with than not, you know?
Yeah. And to open up the conversation about it, this year was a trek.
Yeah.
It was a trek because Los had so many different ideas planned.
Yeah.
And back to back to back, these ideas kind of fell through. These people he wanted to have on just fell through. And yep. it kind of became a problem where almost to the point where it was just like, well, we might just have like me and Los recording it this year and figuring out something to kind of, because if you listen to it, there's a continuing story going on through the whole process. And one of the problems we kind of ran into was Elaine couldn't do it this year. So yes. her character had to be written out in a way to make it work. So that was a whole process.
Yeah.
And then at one point, Beardy couldn't do it as well.
Yeah.
So his character had to be written out in a way.
Yeah. And yeah. Then, well, you know, Beardy, he couldn't make it last year. He couldn't make it this year. And he's got a crazy work schedule that is, it's seasonal. So this is his season. So that's why it's very hard for him to get time and to put time into anything. So that's, you know, that's why he was written out and everything, but it's good reflexes of like, you know, trying to work around and try and get stuff going like that.
Yeah. And then I don't want to name the people who couldn't be a part of, but Los asked multiple people to be a part of it.
So many people.
And they all flaked out of them. One of them even messaged me about like, what is he talking about?
Oh man.
He didn't give me any explanation for it. I don't know what the hell this is. Glad I didn't do it.
Oh man. Who was it? I want to know who is it.
I'll tell you offline who it was.
All right, tell me offline. Tell me offline.
But yeah.
It could have been anybody because I contacted numerous people. And like I told you, I was telling you, I think towards the end I was coming off as I guess exhausted trying to figure out what was going on and who
was.
Oh
yeah, it was getting bad. Was,
yeah. So yeah, I think I messaged somebody because I was like, look, I got this idea. I need a few people. So then you gave me a few names. And the first one I contacted, I messaged him. And then the next day, he was just gone. He deleted his social media.
Yeah.
He just ghosted everything. And like, I was like, look, I messaged him and now he's gone. So what's up? And then you went and found out that he had, you know, something going on. He deleted everything. But it's like, it's one of those things where you're just sitting there like, okay, what did I say? What did I do? But, and then that happened like numerous times to numerous people. And it was just like, holy crap. And like I told you, the first thing in the show, nobody knew what the hell I was talking about. I was like, hey, so you know Delvin's Halloween show? No, what are you talking about? Oh, okay, this is going to be fun. Okay, so basically I was trying to get people that were, you know, different, like that didn't do it before, that that are known on their, you know, respective fronts, and that would be fun, that I figured would be a good add-on for story and for, you know, their personalities and stuff like that. And and yeah, it was just a crazy shot in the foot.
Yeah, and kind of like in the fourth quarter, I reached out to Sinna L on Twitter, who's a good friend, a really good friend of mine. And she came through and like, all right, sure, I'll do it. I told her, hey, I'll come on with you. We could do this thing. You're going to have a lot of, she was going through some stuff. I was like, hey, you have a lot of fun. You can hop on this thing with us. And she had a blast and she did a great job. It's kind of like the Miss Minutes character.
It was very, very awesome. Very, very awesome job from everybody that was there. There was for what they were given.
which is nothing.
I mean, it was like I don't even want to call it a script. It was just like a general idea. It was a general idea of what we were doing. and it was just like, it was just thrown on everybody's lap last second. I think it was just before I got in the shower for like, you know, you guys had 20 minutes, 25 minutes to catch up on it before we got started. So everybody did an awesome job, and it was fun. Like, it was so fun to have, and this was the first time that we have actual characters, you know?
Yes.
So every year is like, last year was me, Los,
playing
Elaine,
Los,
and Chaffee. Yeah, playing Elaine, Chaffee playing Chaffee. This year we had like actual characters. Like, we had Mike Fowler and Matthew. They were playing these agents. They weren't playing Mike Fowler and Matthew, you know. So it was fun.
Fantastic at it too, by the way.
Yeah, everybody did awesome. It was so good. Like, it was.
Let me give some clarification here with this too, because I don't think people understand this concept of it. All the stuff that was in this Halloween special was off the cuff, off the head. Every joke, every comment. Yeah. Even the story to an extent. Only thing we had was an outline of where we wanted to be at. We didn't even really have an ending.
No. I wanted to applaud you too, because that, like, like I said, your Emmy winning performance. it was very, like, I was sitting there like, oh man, this is gonna be awesome. Like, and like, as you were going, I was thinking about all the different ways that I could put it, like, you know, music in the background and all this stuff, you know. So it was like, it all fit great. And if you want to compare it to my guideline that I had written out, you only had like one line.
Wow.
You only had one line. Your line for, like, if it was to go the way that I had it planned, your only thing that you were going to say was, welcome to the Delvin Cox experience. That was it. So, you know, to go from one line to like you just taking over the entire final segment, like, it was awesome, like, and the way it turned out.
Yeah, kind of like monologuing like a supervillain.
Yeah.
Everything that's going on and literally coming up with it on the fly, which is not easy, but it was like, it was fun. It was a blast to do. It was kind of channeling my inner Kang the Conqueror, trying to explain this story and wove it in. I had a blast doing it. It was great. And it was so much fun. I'm just so proud of how it came together.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do this episode to specifically commend you for the fantastic job you've been doing and give you some light on it. Because usually when you come on a podcast, I make fun of you. I make light of you because you're my friend. I like to joke about you and stuff like that. Yeah. But in the end of the day, You have been doing nothing but a fantastic job with these Halloween specials to the point where this was the last one we ever did. I would be good with that because this is blowing everything out the water. All the messages I've been getting from people who've listened to the 3 hours of a Halloween special is, hey, this is fantastic. This is great. I loved every minute of it. This is good. And, you know, I'm glad that I have episodes. Like, you know, I have episodes in the Delvin Cox Experience catalog, not to be arrogant or anything like that, but, you know, I have stuff like the conversation about the N-word, stuff like that, conversation about, you know, the state of America and things like that. Those are usually my 2 to 3 hour episodes, the longer episodes where I have these thought provoking conversations with people.
Yes. Yep.
I have those. Then I have these Halloween specials that are completely different. They're fun. They're silly. They're insightful because people tell their own stories on it. So much different than the things I usually do. So when I get a chance to do these things, even though it is tiring, because like I said, we record a lot of stuff for this. Like it's a 3 hour episode, over a 3 hour episode.
Yep.
So it's a lot of stuff recorded for this. A lot of time, and this is a lot of stuff recorded for one episode. Like usually when I record episodes, I record like a full episode, maybe 2 episodes in 1 week, and that comes out. For the Halloween special, I have to get people who are willing to do a Halloween episode, sit down and talk with me for 30 to 45 minutes.
Yep.
All for one episode. So it's like I'm doing instead
you're
doing
like 3 or 4 shows in one show.
Yes. Yeah. And it's tiring.
Yep.
A lot of work, but seeing the end product makes it worth it.
Yep. It is. It's an awesome end product for a Halloween theme, you know, to get people in the mood, fans of your show and everything. It's an awesome thing, you know, cuz it's like I do the silly shit, the in-betweens and all that, but then you got the interviews that I was listening to that it was like, you know, it's enough to listen on Halloween and to be satisfied that, like, you know, gives you a few chills here and there about certain things that you're covering. So it's an awesome all around show that is put out. So it's awesome to be a part of it. And, you know, it's work. You know, you got your work and I got my side of the work, you know, cause like I said, you were there. So you heard. Yeah, and I enjoyed that you put the outtakes at the end because that was a peek behind the curtain, you know. So it was like you could see from the outtakes, take that and just multiply it like to everywhere for the entire time, because it was just like a whole bunch of joking around, a whole bunch of just going at it, like, you know, making it up as we go, you know, and it came through in the outtakes. So it's awesome to hear that and to see that the peek behind the curtain there.
Yeah, and I think it's awesome just to let people see inside the creative process of what it takes to do one of these things. And feel free, if you're listening to this right now, to try your hand at doing a Halloween special if you're a podcaster, just being creative and letting your creative juices flow and see how good you can get with it. Because I think these things are fun. These activities, it's hard work, but it's a lot of fun. And I highly recommend it. And I hope everybody who listened to the episode enjoyed it. Because like I said, the feedback for it has been completely positive. A lot of text messages, a lot of emails, a lot of Twitter DMs saying how much they've loved it. And that's great.
Yeah, that is awesome. I appreciate whatever love is thrown my way. If anybody's out there like appreciating the story that we got going on, it's a whole bunch of fun to put together. It would come out a lot sooner if I didn't be so lazy about it. it was a lot of. You know, pulling teeth and you know, getting dragged across the floor when it comes down to it. But when I start working on it and I start, you know, getting the editing going and all this stuff, that's when I really just start getting into it. So it's a lot of fun there. And Beardy, like it's like, you know, Beardy wasn't there at all. And he was in the show. That was a whole like different level of fun with him, because basically what we did, you know, to just pull that curtain back, Beardy, like we said, he was very busy. He couldn't make the recording. So when we finished and I had the files and I was working on it and everything, I went through, listened to it. I listened to what the story was going to be. And I basically wrote lines for Beardy. And I was like, okay, Beardy, here's your lines. Record them. And he took the lines. He recorded like 4 or 5 takes of each line. So I got him saying the same thing 4 or 5 times, different ways, different, you know, influxes in the voice and stuff like that. And I took those lines and I just spliced them in there as if he was, you know, as if he was there. So it's like, it was like magic the way it came out sometimes. So
yeah, it came out really good. It came out fantastic, to say the least.
Yeah, it was awesome that he was able to be in there. And the funniest part about that, he sent me those lines just talking on his phone. So he literally called it in. Like it was so awesome to like get those messages from him. Like he just like, you know, he clocked out of work and sat there on his phone just talking into his phone, sending the lines in. So it was it was like another thing to add to the repertoire of editing for your Halloween show.
Oh yeah, and it came down to the wire. I may have got I probably got it Wednesday before Halloween. Mm-hmm. Put all these clips together and figure out formatting for the episode and things like that, which in terms of like, okay, which person's interview is gonna go first, second, third, and last. That's a whole process in itself. Yeah. To get it out just in time for Halloween. Cause that was always the goal. Like every Halloween special, I wanted to be out in time for Halloween. And I don't like to release them on Thursdays because I don't think it makes too much sense. I like that I'd rather have it released on Halloween. So Halloween morning, you wake up, you're doing stuff. You can just listen to the whole episode while you're cleaning or even trick-or-treating, stuff like that. Just something to get you in the mood for Halloween.
Yep. It's a perfect thing.
So, final question for you, Los. What does the future of this look like?
The future.
What are we taking from here, man? Like,
for the story.
Whether the story, the Halloween specials, are we gonna do it like The Simpsons and have like the Delvin Cox Experience Halloween special number 30?
Well, all right, so what I was thinking, like, because I remember when I came to you with the idea to go like the Loki route, we could have gone two ways. I could have killed you at the end and then, you know, started the whole war thing, or we could have just let it go and had things be like normal. So if I didn't kill you, we would have just been doing a regular thing next year, like as if, you know, I guess, you know, living in that world. And since we did go the other route, I was thinking to travel more into the Monkeyverse and to see where we could go from there. And that is all dependent on if you are going to continue doing Halloween shows. So the story, it could evolve, it could branch out, it could keep on going, or, you know, we could call it and we could just, you know, go and do something more simple and stop with the story. So it's really up to you. Cause well, I think originally, I think it was supposed to be that. I think it was supposed to be secluded, you know, every year. I don't think it was supposed to be a branching story that continued every year. Yeah. So that was accident.
Well, as long as people still enjoy it and keep enjoying it. Yeah, I don't see why stop. Like, you know, people enjoy it. They love it. It's becoming part of their Halloween tradition. So let's keep it going.
Yep. We're gonna have to try and get people on board earlier this year. Yes. The next year.
Probably tell some of these people who say, we never heard of it, hey, go listen to the Halloween special. Yep. Why not?
I tried throwing Elaine's name around when you know, Delvin's Halloween show didn't work. I was like, oh, but Elaine did it last year, and that still didn't work.
That didn't work.
Yeah. No, nothing happened.
Elaine, me and your name's no good here, apparently.
Oh man. So was there any other questions like that you had for me as far as the process goes for like editing and all that stuff? For like putting the thing together or anything like that?
I do have one more question. I don't know if I should ask this question, but I'm gonna ask this question. Where do you get all these sound effects and things that you've added into it? Because it seems like a lot of stuff that you've added into it that it's cool. Like, answer that question. I got another question for you.
Yeah, I had a question too. You just reminded me. the sound effects, they all come from YouTube. They're all, well, some of them, most of them are royalty free. I couldn't tell you which are which. I lost count. But I know I had a folder on my desktop here that was about 60-ish sounds deep. Various raccoon sounds, a whole bunch of different, you know, futuristic sounds here and there, you know. And it's just like I would listen to what we recorded, and I would think, you know, where the story was. I was like, okay, so this is in Gatorland. This is in Gatorland, so we need some, like, you know, nighttime ambient sounds. So that was like the background. The DC TVA, I put the background sound that you heard was like an airport sounds, you know, like the background of an airport. Okay. You know, that's, and then I got like random announcements going on in the background too, you know, that I spliced in there. It's just like whatever we talking about, whatever, like in the GameStop, when we were in the GameStop, Chaffee was digging around, looking through all the piles of crap in there. And he was like, here's a grenade, here's a rocket launcher. So it was like, okay, let me look for a sound of something metal dinging around on the floor. So, okay, that's my grenade. Let me get this one for the rocket launch, you know? And it's just like, it's just playing around like puzzle, putting a puzzle together. So it's just going like that.
Speaking of puzzles, I think we should touch on this part. This is one thing I forgot to mention. I think people didn't catch this tidbit. if you listen to the episode, in the end, you hear a video game that I'm playing. I don't know if people caught that, but that is an actual video game. Actual video game that I actually like. It's called Catherine.
Yep.
Los, before I told you, because how this transpired, Los was like, what video game do you want to be playing when Chowfee and me come in the room? Mm-hmm. So did we even have any ideas, or did I immediately say like Catherine?
You said I don't know, something anime.
Yes, because the whole funny thing is, because I figured it'd be a lot more funnier that, because I'm single, it'd be weird, a little weird and off-putting that I'm just playing this weird anime game with these anime girls talking, and I'm really into it. You guys just walk in the room, but you just see like, what the hell is he playing?
Yeah.
So the first game that came to my mind when I thought of that was Catherine. Because Catherine is a really cool game, but if you look at the box art for Catherine, you can't have that box art in your house around your girl. It looks awkward. It looks like a porn game.
Yeah,
it's not a porn game. It's a relationship game. Mm-hmm. That tells a cool, interesting story. But I digress. The whole thing about that game is that I thought it just sounded like be interesting just hearing me play that game. Mm-hmm. Get to that point in the game, and you guys kind of walking in on like, what in the world is going on here? Why is he playing this guy? And it's like, if you know what Catherine is, it's a puzzle game about almost like Cupid, where you're like this guy in like boxer shorts, and you have to move these blocks to get to the top of the mountain and stuff like that. And the side stories is it's like a relationship game where the guy trying to decide whether to cheat on his girlfriend, who's named Catherine with a K, with another girl who's named Catherine with a C. It's a really good game.
I never played it. I've always heard about it. I know the box art. I know that much, you know. When I was looking up sounds for it, that's the first time I've ever seen the actual gameplay of it. And you know, this was the last segment of the show. So I was like, let me look up the final boss sounds for the game, you know, to see what's there. And then I came across that whole dialogue that you heard that you said was a little long in the tooth, which it was, you know.
But it fits the story.
And it fits the story. So that's why it's so long. That's why it's there. Because I feel like that is like towards the end of the game where I guess the hero is coming to the end boss. And it's just like the dialogue that's going on between the hero and the whoever that other person is, like that fits the Delvin Cox multiverse story a lot.
You know? Yes.
So it was an awesome pick to go with that. So
I agree. It kind of fit it like a glove. I thought it was great.
Yeah. I think the DC TVA, when we were in there, did you hear my little Easter egg for you?
I don't think I did.
No. If you go back, I think it's there's three times in that segment that you randomly hear like an announcement bell going off. Okay. You'll hear that part pretty loud. It's like ding, ding, bell. Ding, 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 ding. After the announcement bell, I have it in my head that since you control this area, this TVA thing, that you have it that LL Cool J's I'm Bad gets played on the loudspeaker.
That is brilliant.
So if you listen to it, you'll hear the ding ding ding, and then you'll hear the three different verses for LL Cool J's I'm Bad going on in the background while we're talking. So I thought that was like a nice little thing that I threw in there. I thought it was funny.
Excellent touch. For those who don't know, LL Cool J is like my favorite rapper. Yeah, one of my favorite rappers. Nas and LL Cool J are two of my favorite rappers off bat.
Well, so he's the GOAT. I mean, it's, you know, so come on. But yeah, that maybe that redeems me not knowing the verse from earlier.
It does.
I don't know. Okay. All right, good. I'm glad. So yeah, that was like my favorite little Easter egg. So if you go back and listen, you could probably hear it. And then the Squid Games little Easter egg in the beginning, the first part, that was another little thing that I threw in there.
I did hear that. So that was cool.
Yeah. So yeah, that was it's a blast putting it together. I mean, you see, it's like you said, it's like just creative juices flowing. And it's just, you know, one thing after another, one idea leads to another. And then the next thing you know, you got a cast of people talking to each other, making up a story as they go. And you're just hoping it comes out good. So it was an awesome job by everybody that was part of it.
I definitely think it was.
Yeah.
Congratulations on a fantastic job, Los. Thank you for putting out such quality content, man. Thank you for coming on this episode, by the way.
No problem. I have been wanting to talk about it more because it's, you know, it's fun to do it every year. And, you know, it's one of those things like it's just something I'm proud of to put out, you know, because it's so dumb and it's so like out there, you know, that it's like it's something that it's like my baby, you know. So I like to say, you know, hey, I did that, that's nice, you know. And you know, like I said, this is like me working the dough and baking it that Beardy put together all the ingredients for, you know.
I like it.
So it's something that the future monkeys, they still live on in some way, some shape or form.
I agree. And I think that's the perfect way to end this episode. Thank you for coming on, Lowe's. Lowe's, let them know where to find you at.
I am the Elusive Man on Twitter. The one Elusive Man. you could probably look on Delvin's timeline somewhere and find me. Mention, yes. Maybe. I'll be retweeting your stuff or whatever when this show comes out. And yeah, I got a blog, themanthechefthedad.com, that is sometimes updated. And I have a podcast that I'm going to be trying to do a little solo run here and there for, you know, in the near future. Now that I'm free, that I have my October duties are behind me, now that I have some time. So my podcast is The Talking Place for those interested.
Yes, definitely check that out. All right. As always, Delvin Cox Experience, we are out. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Delvin Cox Experience. If you like more content, go on patreon.com/Delvin Cox Experience. There is more exclusive podcasts, including I'm the Podcaster, he's the DJ, that is the hip-hop podcast I do with Mr. Tim Hines, as well as The Boondocks, which is a Boondocks review show I do with my son, Delvin Jr. With that being said, I want to give a special shout-out to Patreon producers Shirley Walker, Ghost Rider UK, and Mikey Famine. Thank you. God bless.
Family. It looks a little different for everyone. For some, it's mom and dad. For others, roommates who feel like family. And for others, it's your significant other, their golfing buddies, your children, a high school soccer team starting lineup, and oh look, they're all taking you up on the offer to stay for dinner. Really testing the limits of that phrase, the more the merrier. But no matter where you call home, GEICO makes it easy to bundle and save on home and car insurance. Easier than making 3 frozen pizzas and assorted frozen veggies into a cohesive meal.